Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The experts agree that the most critical years in the intellectual development of children are those first years, the preschool years. We'll be talking about the role of parents as the first teachers a little bit later. But first, a look at the past and present role of various ethnic groups in the development of our city and region. Our community's DNA has components from around the globe, not just the most obvious like the French, Germans, Irish, and Italians. A new book gives us a nice literal and figurative picture of our ethnic mosaic. The book is aptly titled Ethnic St. Louis. The three contributing authors are historian Elizabeth Terry, the principal author. Patrick McCarthy is the associate dean of libraries and director of the Medical Center Library at St. Louis University. Dr. John Wright is a retired St. Louis Public School administrator and board president of the St. Louis Consular Corps. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Boy, talking about immigrants, refugees, and ethnic groups is certainly part of the dialogue in our country today. And we'll get to that in a little bit because it's certainly relevant here. But Elizabeth, let me start with you. What typically has been the draw that St. Louis has had over various nationalities and ethnic groups over the last couple of centuries?
Well, you know, it's changed over the years. It changed through the timeline of St. Louis. You know, early on, it began with the fur trade and its location on the Mississippi River. The French came down from Canada and up from New Orleans, and the Americans came across from the United States when St. Louis was part of the French. Then later, it moved to the clay mines and zinc mines, you know, zinc for the Spanish and clay mines for the Italians. And of course, there was the garment industry. And once you had a settlement of immigrants, then more and more came to join them. Family members came and so forth. And of course, the Bulgarians across the river settled in Granite City and they labored with the steel and granite industry. So it changed through the years.
Yeah. John, you mentioned before we went on the air that most people just tend to think of this area as black and white. But when one looks at the number of ethnic groups that have come to this community, in your book here, it's an enormous number of groups, isn't it?
It's surprising how many have festivals, events, and activities year-round. And when you read the newspaper, all you see is black-white issues. And it's a rainbow of people here. And I think people would be surprised. And it's been that way for years. It's not that we just haven't looked at it.
We have. Well, we have now, haven't we? It's called Ethnic St. Louis.
If they read the book, they'll find out.
Yeah. Patrick, what drew you to this project?
Well, I've worked for over 20 years with the local Bosnian community. So I had a feeling from that experience of what it was like to come to St. Louis from somewhere else and to come to St. Louis not by choice but of necessity. And I think that's one of the contributing factors that makes St. Louis such a dynamic place, that when we look at it over a span of time, we see it's always been a place of new beginnings, whether people came by choice or in the case of African slaves, not by choice. And then more recently, the big refugee populations who also came not because it was a place they sought out in particular, but it's been really phenomenal to see how that whole story has unfolded for them and others.
Most people have obviously come here by choice.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. And?
And it's because I think many of them have friends here, yeah, family members here. They know others from their country who have settled here, and it becomes a magnet for those who are thinking about, where do I go? Come to St. Louis. We've got a good support system here. And so that's how it grows. Right. I think that's what's happened with the Bosnians. You hear more and more Bosnians moving because of the success those who came earlier had in the city.
Mm. That's absolutely true. Just to follow on with, we know that about 10,000 refugees came directly through sponsoring agencies for the Bosnians, such as the International Institute. And as John alluded to, a lot came from other places. So they found through talking with their friends and relatives, hey, it's a nice environment here for our people. And we've seen certainly the flowering of entire neighborhoods where Bosnian businesses have grown up. because there's that base of population, which is estimated now at around 50,000.
Elizabeth, is St. Louis in any way exceptional in this regard in the draw that it's had over the years? I mean, do other communities, other cities attract in the same way, and have they over the past decades?
You know, I think St. Louis definitely stands out among the others. It has been a place of refuge. You know, you mentioned in the previous question, do people come by choice largely? And the word refugee hasn't always been used, but it certainly has been a place of refuge. You know, many, many failed revolutions of 1848 for the Europeans and Eastern Europeans, you know, sent people fleeing to the United States. So St. Louis has become a safe haven for a very long time. You know, by 1850, 43% of St. Louisans were either born in Ireland or born in Germany. By 1860, St. Louis was the most foreign-born city in the country. So it certainly was exceptional in that way.
Yeah. One of the things that it seems to me, in any case, certainly correct me if I'm wrong, is that the migration was not necessarily east to west. It was from south to north through New Orleans. Is that correct? And why?
You know, very much so. Because of travel, you know, early on. There are exceptions, though, to think about. You know, many Chinese, for example, at the turn of the century, stopped in San Francisco first and then made their way into the heartland for a new beginning. So,
what about the question of assimilation? Has that been easily accomplished here, or do we really know, particularly going back to the middle of the 19th century?
I think it's hard to tell. I think it's difficult in some cases, but for those groups, when they come, when they form their community, they support each other. And so money stays in the community, which helps it to grow. And so you can see why they kind of keep to themselves to a certain extent. But they have gone out in the community. Many of them live in all over the city and all over the region. And they've settled in all parts of the region, but you still have certain ethnic groups who still have their own community.
The Bosnians are certainly a case in point there.
That's true. We used to use this metaphor of a melting pot in St. Louis and other places, and people have started to move away from the idea that people who came from diverse and different backgrounds somehow melded into a uniform, homogeneous whole. The idea now is it's a kind of tossed salad or mixed salad where we're all together in some form of common ground, but we bring to it tremendous diversity and variety. And I think that's a very interesting idea when we look at St. Louis. We sometimes have a temptation to think our best days are behind us. And one of the real hopeful and reassuring experiences of working on this book is to see how we've always been a very changing place. We've always been a place of true diversity. And as Elizabeth said, we used to be the city that had more foreign-born citizens than any city in the United States. That's our history, but I also think it's part of our present. And if we're smart, it'll be part of our future.
Well, there's certainly an attempt now to draw more, I think of the Mosaic Project in particular, which seems to be having some success. And the thing that many people don't realize is it's important because of the entrepreneurial skills that these people from other countries bring. They roll up their sleeves and go right to work almost without exception, don't they?
Well, we have to look at the fact that St. Louis used to have close to 900,000 citizens. Mm-hmm. We're down to 325, you know. Mm-hmm. If we want to grow, we're going to have to grow through immigration. And I think that's what the goal is.
Elizabeth, is there a most important group? I'm sorry to hit you with this question. but is there one group that stands out as having perhaps contributed more to this region than others?
You know, I just don't think so. I really think they all gave in different ways, and some gave with lasting impressions, you know, that we have today. For example, you know, the German influence. There were so many Germans, and the influence stands today. But I believe that they all built the foundation that we rest upon today. And largely it's because of capitalism, like you just said. They're willing to work in ways that, you know, those of us that have been here for a long time haven't. And it's been that way with immigrants from the day St. Louis was founded until today, and thank goodness for that.
Yeah. Patrick, the Bosnian group, once again, because it's the most recent group collectively to come in, really gives us a good picture of that particular dynamic, doesn't it?
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, we have a policy and a practice in the United States and in St. Louis that I used to think of as kind of harsh, and that is that people were brought into this environment without language skills, without family connections, and we expect – you asked about assimilation earlier – we expect people to adapt very, very quickly. So to learn English quickly, get their kids enrolled in school, find a job, find an apartment. And it's a struggle. The truth is that's very, very hard. When you come to a place where you don't have family and friends, where it's a foreign culture. But having seen it now over the arc of the last two decades and to see the tremendous success of the Bosnian community, I think affirms the idea that part of that success is born out of struggle, that people get on their own two feet. One of the contrasts with the approach in Europe is there is a greater continuum of social service, but what we see is marginalized communities that remain on the outside. I think the report card on St. Louis is very good in terms of people feeling part of our community, feeling like they're contributing and valued members of the community. That's good for all of us. That becomes who we are in St. Louis.
Elizabeth, I'm assuming that what we're seeing now with the Bosnians gives us a pretty clear picture of what it must have been like for the Germans, let's say, or the French or the others in decades past. Probably reacted the same way.
Yeah, very much. You know, as John had mentioned earlier, they helped themselves. You know, the Germans, for example, came and then started their own benevolent societies to help other Germans in their transitioning into St. Louis. Same with the Irish, same with many, many of these communities. And, you know, rather than the International Institute that we have today, they leaned on each other to help each other. The Irish, unfortunately, you know, serve as an example of wanting to work and no one wanting to hire them. Mm-hmm. So it's very impressive how groups like that made their way.
Yeah. John, I want to talk about the African-Americans who came here because the dynamic a little bit different. They didn't have to learn a language. They knew the language, but they certainly had to learn other things. How difficult was it for those who came from the South and established themselves here? Not quite the South, but not quite the North either.
Well, the early residents were the entrepreneurs because there was no social system outside the community. Mm-hmm. So you had the Ville community where you had the settlement of African Americans because of not being accepted in the white community. You had 50% of the doctors trained, did residency in the Ville community at Homer G. Phillips Hospital. And I'd say because of segregation, they had better service than they would have in the white institutions because you had concentrated talent. I would say the same thing with Sumner High School because educators couldn't be hired, weren't hired in other places. You had a high concentration of highly gifted and talented individuals, which you wouldn't have had if they would have been integrated in the white community. So I think in some cases you had some treasures that we didn't realize we had until they were gone.
Mm-hmm. You say they've settled primarily in the Ville. The Ville was the only place where they could own property. Was that not correct?
The Ville, you had outlying areas. You had small pockets and Chesterfield for 160 acres they bought after slavery. So you had pockets of, throughout the area where African Americans had settled.
We are talking about ethnic St. Louis and the development of the ethnic communities here. It's the discussion is prompted by the brand new book, Ethnic St. Louis. And with me are the authors of that book, co-authors, I should say. Elizabeth Terry is with us, historian, and Dr. John Wright, from whom you just heard, a longtime St. Louis school administrator here, and he's been on this program many times. And we also have with us Patrick McCarthy, sorry about that.
No problem.
Who is one of the co-authors of the book. We'll come back, continue this conversation. There are certain things relevant to what's going on in our world and our country today we want to get to, and we'll do that in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you. And welcome back. We'll continue our conversation with Patrick McCarthy, Elizabeth. I'm sorry, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Terry. Well, I'm having a terrible time with the names today. I apologize for that. And John Wright also with us. Elizabeth, let me return to you with regard to what's going on today. I think you indicated before we went on the air that that you're the Syrian expert, the Lebanese-Syrian expert, to which you devote some space in your book. We have a fairly large contingent and have had a fairly large contingent from people in this part of the world. And they were not received very well, were they? And the indications are today from some quarters in our area that Syrians, if they make it to St. Louis, may not be received well either.
Yeah, I would sure hate for history to repeat itself. You're right that it was not good for them when they first came. You have to remember back in at the turn of the century that Syria was part of the Ottoman Empire, which encompassed Lebanon and Turkey and a huge swath of neighboring nations as we know them today. And with that unrest, the Syrians fled, like many immigrants came to St. Louis between 1890 and World War One. And I say Syrians, I meant people from that region. Mm-hmm. And St. Louisans didn't know what to make of them. They didn't know what to call them. They hadn't seen people from this region before, necessarily. So they first called them Asians. That didn't seem to fit. So then they called them Arabs. And then finally they stuck with Syrians, just naming everybody from that entire region a Syrian. And they were poor. You know, they weren't like some of the immigrant groups that came with money. They were poor. They were very much marginalized and discriminated against. And the work they could find was often as a peddler. And so that's how they became known. And they settled in an area called Little Syria. That's a part of St. Louis's history. And it was located on the south side between Papin and Lafayette and 4th and 14th Streets, that little area. Finally, they found their footing, you know, as immigrants do. They made their way. They found work and established their families and separated. They began to identify more with their ethnic groups, and the Lebanese really rose out as a group that did that, establishing St. Raymond's Church, which we know as a very important Lebanese church today.
And acquired some political power along the way.
Yep, that's right. Look at our mayor, Francis Lay, of Lebanese descent.
Right. Patrick, you were nodding your head with that. Obviously, you agree. What about the potential for Bosnian political power in St. Louis?
You know, I had a meeting because I worked so closely with Bosnians over the years, a few years ago now, but it was with Mayor Slay and a delegation of Bosnians, and we were escorted into his office, and at his doorway, he greeted each of us in Bosnian by saying, "Welcome." Of course, he got to me and said, "I've never met a Bosnian named Patrick McCarthy," so I was the odd man out. But I think it was an indication of the growing political influence of the Bosnian community. They've used media effectively. They certainly have contributed a lot to our community in terms of economic growth and development, stability of neighborhoods, and I think there is a growing awareness of their power as a political bloc.
And John Wright, for the African Americans who came to this community, there is some political power, obviously, today, but it took a lot longer to
acquire. It took a long time when the first Charles, Turpin, when he was elected, they told him he was defeated, but they monitored he won over twice as many votes, and he was elected to office, first statewide office election for an African-American. So there have been successes that go back, but they didn't come without struggle. There's always that resistance in a community that's been divided by race. And hopefully it'll gradually, with all these various ethnic groups, we can't keep playing that race game for political gain, it'll eventually dissolve, hopefully.
What about assimilation of groups that have come from Africa and settled here?
I was talking with someone the other day, and we have a problem. Many individuals who come from Africa, they're being told, don't associate with African Americans. And then we have African Americans who have misinformation about those who come. And they're saying, well, you eat monkeys, you do this. So we have misinformation to the African-American community about those who are coming. And we have Africans who come giving misinformation, don't talk with African-Americans. So we have, this is something is devised in the community, in the media, and whatever. We've got to break that down.
Elizabeth, are there patterns like this with other groups? I mean, certainly there are people who have come here from other parts of the world where there was hostility amongst their groups there, and then they find themselves perhaps neighbors here.
Mm-hmm. Some countries, especially the European countries, where there was issues between being Protestants and being Catholics, mm-hmm. They come to St. Louis and their job is just to live. Their job is to find a home and raise their families, and it's just not as big an issue in St. Louis, and they worship amongst each other in peace.
Patrick, and what about our Bosnian friends now? Because there certainly were cultural and religious problems back home.
Right, that's correct. And I think, as Elizabeth said, when people come, they're looking for peace, they're looking for stability, they're looking for a new beginning. And I think the experience of the Bosnians is relevant, especially today when we are having the debate about refugees and bringing refugees from places like Syria. Almost all the Bosnians who came are Muslim by faith tradition. And since 2001, since the 9/11 attacks, the United States overall has resettled almost 1 million refugees from all over the world. Not a single one of those refugees has been involved in an act of domestic terrorism. We've unfortunately really politicized this whole question about refugee status. The truth is, it's in everyone's benefit, theirs and ours, to welcome refugees here.
The issue of nativism, if you will, Elizabeth, is not new. I mean, we don't call it that now, but there certainly is resistance to St. Louis sometimes has the reputation of not being very welcoming. And I'm wondering how that plays today and how it has played in the past and how it's reflected in your book.
Yes, nativism is a word that was used in the book, specifically when the huge influx of, you know, Germans and Irish and Europeans came in the middle of the century, you know, late 1840s through the 1850s, natives were the early French. Those were the Native Americans. And I think part of that discrimination is because St. Louis was ill-prepared for the influx of humanity. I mean, just simple logistics of housing the people. And plus there was then and is now a fear of the unknown.
Yeah, that's the big fear, isn't it?
That's the biggest fear, and we have to work to make sure we educate people. That's the biggest thing we have to do.
Is that one of the reasons for this book? I mean, is that part of the motivation?
You know, we began the book before the events in Ferguson. We began the book before the Syrian crisis really came to the forefront. So it really began as a celebration of the different ethnic groups, an honest look at how the ethnic groups came to St. Louis and lived in St. Louis. And now we see the importance of it.
Yeah. The timing is everything, as they say, not only in real estate and other things, but certainly with something like this. I'm going to take a couple of calls as time will allow and get the audience into our discussion. We'll start with Jay calling from Normandy. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. Hi, folks. I listen to another station on the weekends that
shame.
97.1. And they've been blasting this whole thing of resettlement. And on that station, they think I'm a very big liberal. But I am going to say this. I don't know if I understand the need for accepting population from all over the world. It's not 1870. It's not 1880. We don't have manifest destiny that we have to fill in the vacant lands of the West. Why do we want to accept everybody's population? By the way, I believe that global climate change is occurring, and they're talking about waves of migrants when that happens. So why do we need, when I graduated from high school, the population of this country was 200 million. We fought World War II with 140 million. We are now at 315 million. And by the way, I do notice that a lot of these folks, the Syrians, are military-age males. Why don't we enlist them in a campaign against ISIS, train them, and use them to protect their own country from these barbarians.
Jay, thank you for the call, Jay. Well, a lot of stuff to chew on there. Let's not get into a lengthy discussion, but I think, Elizabeth, we'll start with you, this whole notion where we shouldn't be bringing so many people into the country.
Well, you know, it was historically, as it is today, a benefit to St. Louis to accept people and welcome people from around the world capitalistically, you know, economically. They give so much to the economy of the city. They did back in the day and they do today. Right, Patrick?
Well, I think if you just let's look at some numbers and say we had a population of the city of St. Louis that at one time was three times what it is today. So closer to 1 million, we're down to 350,000. The caller cited the national population statistics, but just to keep the lens of focus on St. Louis, we know an engine of development and prosperity is to bring new immigrants to St. Louis, including refugees. We have, I think, a moral obligation to do that. No security professional that I've heard has said a well-vetted refugee screening process is all we need, other than what we have in place now, to assure legitimate concerns about security.
I think we have to remind everyone that all except for the Native Americans, everyone else has been immigrants. And it could have been said when their ancestors came, why do we have to let them in? We always want to close the door on the next group, but we all have to remember we're immigrants in this place we call America.
And we have to think of the plaque at the Statue of Liberty. We're bringing the huddled masses into this country. That's basically what it's all about. A final thought from you, Elizabeth, before we say goodbye?
Well, I just am really glad to bring this book to the forefront and talk about and celebrate the different ethnic groups that make up St. Louis, because everyone should know how diverse St. Louis really is.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to leave it at that note. I want to thank you all so much for being with us. Patrick McCarthy, great to see you. Thank you for being with us. Elizabeth Terry, thank you. Congratulations on the book, as well as to you, John Wright. It's a very, very handsome book. The title, once again, is Ethnic St. Louis. Pick it up. You'll learn a lot, believe me. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Great Christmas present.
Beautiful pictures.
It'll look great under the tree, right? Thank you all so much.
You.
Coming up, Parents as Teachers. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.